You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
New member.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks for asking me to do this. I came in 25 years ago. I was 1999. I was 38 years old, February of 99. And, you know, it's funny, what I know about myself now is different than when I tell my story back then, but the feelings were still the same. So I'm just going to show you this this picture real quick, if I can get this thing to work. Bear with me. So my mother tells me, my mother's still around. She's going to be 100 in May, you know, still all with it. She tells me I'm 15 months old in this picture. And I see that picture and I'm like, I remember when I used to share before, it was like, I don't remember being that happy. Like my life, I just always remember being miserable, not miserable, but like sad and down because I was fat. Like fat was just a thing that just went with me, you know, until I found OA. And it wasn't probably until like when I was a little kid, you know, the kid, like I was the youngest of five, you know, 7 years older than me to 18 years older than me. And, you know, they teased me about my weight. Kids in school would tease me about my weight. I played Little League and they didn't have a uniform to fit me. You know, I wore a sweatshirt and, you know, I was always made aware of my weight. And, you know, and like hanging out with the kids in like junior high, we used to go to this pond to go swimming. You know, I'd want to take my shirt off, you know, things like that, you know. It wasn't until my senior year in high school where I actually really tried to diet. And my senior year, I lost like I think it was like 100 pounds. I don't remember exactly now, 85 or 100. And it was great. It's like, I thought that's it, man. Like I've done it. I'm here. And slowly put it back on. And then, you know, from like 17 years old until OA, there were many diets and joining gyms and, I used to have jokes with my friends, like, you know, they say, why don't you try taking speed? And I'm like, well, I did. It just makes me eat faster. You know, like I just always, you know, like crap on myself, you know? And, you know, I just, you know, I like I said, I joined gyms. I tried taking supplements. I just, you know, and then in 1986, I went on another crash diet. And again, I lost well over 100 pounds. I think between like 17 and my age of 17 and 38, I probably went up and down like 400 pounds, you know, all the weight I lost and gained. So it was like 1986. I lost a bunch of weight. I went on a booze cruise around Boston Harbor. I met my future ex-wife and, you know, as soon as we started dating, I started putting the weight on. And we had my daughter pretty much right away and my son 16 months later. And again, like, and those are like one of the most beautiful things in my life, my kids being born. But I just had this weight thing in the back of my mind. Like, I just couldn't do it. I could not stop eating. You know, no matter what the occasion was or what the reason to lose the weight, no matter what I did, I couldn't do it. I couldn't lose the weight. And it bothered me and I hated myself so much. So how could I love, you know, like, or even love anybody else? You know, I didn't know that then, but I see that now. And, somewhere in the mid 90s, I heard about Fen-Phen And it was by this time they already said it was dangerous, but it wasn't taken off the market yet. And I said, I don't care if it's dangerous. I want this stuff. You know, I want to lose weight. And funny story was, I was going to the doctor every week, every other week, and then once a month, he was monitoring me. Excuse me. And well, the scale stops at 350, so I wasn't registering on the scale. And I'll never forget it. It was one night. It was a Friday night. My appointment was Friday night. It was just me, the doctor, and one of the nurses. And I got on the scale, and I was 349. And you would have thought I hit the lottery. 349 pounds. Like, I wanted to shout it out to the rooftops. Like, I was so excited, you know? And I got down to about 297, and I was getting, like, real, you know, like, anger issues. And the doctor said it was because of Fen-Phen. So he gave me another pill. I don't remember what it was, but it was an antidepressant or something. But one of the side effects was a tendency to crave sweets. So I'm taking one pill to lose weight and this other pill, the tendency to crave sweets. And, you know, so once I stopped taking all the pills, like, the floodgates opened and I just ate and ate and ate. This woman out here used to say, you know, she ate with reckless abandon. And that's what I did, you know. And yeah, it was just getting worse and worse and worse. And I was going to have the gastric bypass. There was this guy I knew. It was my ex-brother-in-law's friend, neighbor across the street. And he was as big as I was, you know. And I'd look at him and I'm like, you know, this is my thinking because of the self-loathing and stuff. But I'd look at him and say, wow, his wife's better looking than mine. His kids are better behaved than mine. He has a nicer car. His grass is greener. Well, actually, it was greener, but, you know, it was all that. But he was every bit as fat as I was. Well, he had the gastric bypass and I was so pissed. I'm like, now he's going to have everything and be thin. And, I used to joke with friends and I said, you know, I need a program like AA where I can say, hi, I'm Dave, I'm fat. And someone said, you know, there is one, Overeaters Anonymous. And so I don't know if I called or I forget how it, but I got a meeting list. And it turns out on a Friday night, February 5th of 99, there was a meeting like five houses down from where I lived at the church, you know. So five houses down, I could have walked there, but I drove. And it was an hour and a half meeting. And I walked in while they're saying the serenity prayer. And I'm like, what, you know, and they're all thin people. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? And it was an hour and a half meeting. And they had a break at that meeting. And at the break, a bunch of people came up and welcomed me and hugged me and gave me newcomers packets. But what I did hear was I heard it was a disease. And I went home that night and I already felt lighter in the head because I hated myself so much. And I didn't really even know I did, you know, but I did. I was like, I'm such a freaking loser. And then that took a lot of pressure off me that was the case, you know. So it was about February. It was 9 days later. It was a Sunday morning meeting. We used to have this meeting just outside of Boston on Sunday morning. We had anywhere from 200 to 250 people Overeaters Anonymous meeting on a Sunday morning. It was amazing. And I ran into this guy who I had seen at some meetings and asked him to sponsor me. And he said, he goes, sure. And he gave me suggested what I should eat and shouldn't eat. And, you know, no booze and no drugs. You know, it's like, not that I did a lot of drugs at that point, but I was, you know, I smoked a little pot and I liked to drink. But I didn't care what it was. I was all in. And the food plan was 3 weight measured meals a day, nothing in between, no flour, no sugar. And I remember telling my wife at the time, and she laughed and she goes, you're not going to be able to do that. And I was like, oh yeah, I am. And I did. And I actually lost 215 pounds. I went from 400 to 185 from February to February. And, you know, so many cool things happened. And at 10 months, I had lost the 200 and I went to see my doctor. He hadn't seen me in over a year. And he was like, what? You know, and he sent me all, you know, he sent me to get all this blood work done and he was concerned. And then a couple of weeks later or so, I get a letter from him and the letter says, Dear Skinny. And he was so thrilled that I did it. He actually called me and asked if some of his patients could talk to me that were interested in gastric bypass. No one ever did, but that's how impressed he was, you know. And you know, I just, it was great. Like it was great. And I got to share this real quick too. I was about 4 months abstinent and I lost about 100 pounds at this point. So I lost the first 100 really fast. And a guy at a meeting, never met him before. And he goes, he introduced himself. He goes, Dave, what did you do to maintain 400 pounds? And I said, I don't know. I had to think about it. I had to think about it. And what happened was I didn't maintain 400 pounds. I'd get up in the morning and I'd open my eyes and I'm like, you fat piece of garbage, you effing this, you, I'm cleaning it up. And I'm like, you blew another diet. And I'd get out of bed and I'd walk to the refrigerator. I'd open the door and say, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? Like, I screw it. And I'd eat. And I was, I'd be so mad at myself. And then I'd be getting dressed in the morning. Like I'd put my pants up, but I wouldn't even buckle them because I wouldn't be able to bend over and put my shoes on. Like, you know, 60-inch waist, a 5X shirt. But all day long, it'd be, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? Until, and I ate like right up until I went to bed. And I'd lie in bed and I'd like be swearing at myself and call myself every name in the book. You blew another day. And then at some point during the night, I'd wake up with the stomach acids coming out of my nose and I'd be in the bathroom cleaning up. I'd end up falling asleep, sitting in a chair until I could make it back to bed. And the day would, you know, the reason I'm telling you this story is like, this was my day after day, after day, after day. And when I say it, it sounds so bizarre, but I heard this in a meeting. It's like, you know, bizarre became normal and normal became bizarre. That was my normal, getting up every night and throwing up and calling myself every name in the book. So the, you know, the first year, the weight's flying off me. The second year, I'm getting used to weight, you know, being at that body. The third year, it's like I'm starting to do things. I'm used to it. And all the accolades started dimming down, you know, like people were used to me at that way. You know what I mean? Like it just wasn't, there wasn't anything to like get excited about, you know? And I was in about 7 years and, you know, I was doing great. I my weight came up a little bit because 185 was too low. I maintained about 205, 210. I was getting bored. I was getting bored and I wanted to get drunk. And I had this great idea. I was going to replace my 8 ounces of potatoes that I had for lunch and the 8 ounces of potatoes I had for supper. I was going to replace those with 16 ounces of potato vodka. And I called so many people in OA and nobody thought it was a good idea. And the last person I called, I don't know if they were joking or what, but they said, yeah, it sounds reasonable to me. And that was the last phone call I made. And I had this 16 ounces of potato vodka. And I drank for like 2 weeks. And I would have rather have told my sponsor I killed somebody than I broke my abstinence, you know? But anyway, I told them, I got back on the thing and I was doing my thing. And then in 2009, I was having some severe knee pain. I was remodeling my house and I ended up, I started on Vicodins to Percocets and I got hooked on Oxycontin. So technically, you know, I'm not abstinent, even though I was still maintaining the food plan and stuff. I split with my ex-wife back in 2010. I started going to AA meetings and just being involved in the 12 steps. And I was still staying in touch with all my OA friends and I'd go to AA meetings and they'd go out to dinner afterwards and I'd make sure I stayed with the foods I could eat. And, you know, things were great. They really were. And I want to say it was about 6 years ago. I mean, the weight stayed down, you know, the weight was good. And I want to say it was about 5 or 6 years ago. I really don't remember, but I think I had this thought that, you know, I'm older now. I know a lot about the steps. I know a lot about myself. I can eat this other stuff. I'm not a food addict anymore. And I started slowly like eating things that I hadn't eaten for years. But I never got back to eating the way I did 25 years ago, you know, just all day long. But I was, the quantities were getting bigger and, you know, I was just taking liberties on what I was eating. I remember hearing this guy at an AA meeting about 12 years ago, and he said he'd been sober many years. And one day he was at a cookout and had a beer. And he goes, hey, I'm not an alcoholic anymore. And 6 months later, he was, you know, drinking every day and back in AA. Well, that's what kind of what happened to me, and just took a little bit longer. I'm like, I'm not a food addict anymore, you know, and it just took a while. And so what do I got? 5 minutes left. So what got me back here was about 3 years ago. I did our food plan on my own for about 3 months. And my grandson was going to come up and stay with me for the week. He was it 3 years ago? So he was like seven. And I already had a plan. We were going to get ice cream and shit when he was up there. Like, you know, it was, and I couldn't get back on it after that. And, this year, this past Thanksgiving, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, I went to put a shirt on. You know, I live in Maine. It was a little chilly. I went to put a long sleeve shirt on. I could barely button it. Last year, I could button it. And when I bought it a few years ago, I could wrap it around me like a robe. And I'm like, uh-oh. what did I do? I just got a bigger shirt. The Sunday after Thanksgiving, I was going to the grocery store. And I just decided to buy some of the stuff I eat, you know. I think I got some yogurt and blueberries for my breakfast. And a good friend of mine, he was a sponsor of mine for a while. We're great, great friends. We still talk all the time. We were talking, and he had like 60 days or something like that at the time. Well, apparently he made a call to this other guy, and this other guy called me. I'm like 2 days absent and on my own, and this guy called. And, how you doing? I'm good, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you looking to get a sponsor? And I'm like, he goes, no, be honest with me. And I'm like, no, I don't want to come back to OA. But I've been calling him every day. I've been going to meetings every day. That's how I found you people. And I'm so thrilled I did. I love this meeting. But I wouldn't get on the scale. I didn't get on the scale from November 26th to December 19th. I finally got on the scale December 14th. I finally got on the scale. And I was 270 pounds. So I'm guessing maybe 275 when I started, but I don't know. Anyway, between December 14th till last week, I weighed myself. I've lost 30 pounds, about 30 pounds. And it was so funny. I don't weigh myself till the first, but I had a doctor's appointment last Monday and I knew they were going to weigh me. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning for me, you know, 2 o'clock for you guys. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, should I get on the scale? The doctor's going to weigh me anyway. And I did. And I lost 11 pounds in like those 22 days between, you know, the last weigh-in and that. And my wife had already left for work and I'm here all alone. Like, I got to call somebody. Like, who can I call? And I'm like, who's awake this early besides me that I want to call, you know? And, but yeah, things are going great. I make a ton of phone calls a day. I'm on the road. I'm self-employed working. And one thing that's different for me now is like, I think I might've shared this before, like at an AA meeting, I heard, you know, I'm a pickle. I can never be a cucumber again. I'm a food addict and that's it. There's no going back. And it's fine. I've accepted it. I really have. And I hope I never forget that. I'm working every tool to the best of my ability. My sponsor is actually wanted to know if I was interested in two-way prayer. It's this thing that a lot of people have been doing. And the one thing I've struggled with and I have always struggled with is the concept of God that I cringe when I hear the word God. And I ended up making a bunch of phone calls on Monday and I got some great feedback. Like, because I thought all these guys I knew were religious and they're like, no, we're not. We're just believing in something, you know, you don't have to even believe in God. He said, just believe that you're not God. Know that you're not God. And so I've been meditating and there's a place I go way up in Maine. It's like 5 hours from here. It's Moosehead Lake. And it's so serene. And Monday I was taking my quiet time and I just closed my eyes and I pictured the lake, like me and my dog sitting by the campfire watching the sunrise on this, you know, this. And I got to tell you, it's like it really worked. It really helped me, you know? And I was talking to somebody yesterday, like, I just want to be the best I can be. Like, you know, like I have my grandkids and I want to be a good grandfather. You know, I'm still, you know, good father, good husband, good ex-husband. I don't want to I don't want to have all this anxiety and all this fear. And I just want to, you know, like I said at the beginning, my mother's going to be 100 in a couple of months in May. And it's like, you know, I could be dead tomorrow, or I could be around 36 years from now. And either way, I just want it to be the best, you know. And I came in originally 25 years ago just for the weight. And that I thought thin people were perfect. There's no thin people don't have problems, you know. And now it's like, yeah, the weight part is almost the bonus. It's the rest of it I'm getting out of this. That's, it's just I wish I, you know, I'm not a wordsmith. I wish I could put words to it, you know. And I just I'm very happy with what I'm doing. You know, not only am I physically feeling better, but mentally too. The clarity's coming in. And as far as like going to all these Zoom meetings all around the country, it reminded me of a thing I heard one time. It says, it was at an AA meeting. It's like, AA is the only place where you can reminisce with people you never met before, you know? And that's what I feel like. Like, I don't know any of you other than, you know, your faces on the Zoom meeting, but we all tell the same story. And I guess my time is up, correct? Okay. Well, thank you for letting me share. I hope hope I did okay. Thanks.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Overeaters Anonymous podcast, hit the like button and subscribe to receive future episodes. If you are looking for a meeting online or in person, visit www.oamidpeninsula.org.